Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. What day is today? Today is March 21st. I can't believe it. It's that far along in the year. It's 8 o'clock in the morning here on the Pacific Coast. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining UCY.TV. Please remember to share this station with your friends and neighbors. Tell them how to get to us, because we are an internet radio show. Sort of people need to be explained how to get to an internet radio show. You don't turn on the radio. Although that one day that would be really awesome if we could get syndicated nationally on the airwaves somehow. So that's probably very possible if you share our radio station and make a contribution to this station when you can, so that we can upgrade our everythings here. So thank you for joining us today. I had scheduled on with us Chuck Johnson, who had called me yesterday and said that he had something that came up that he really had to keep, an appointment that he had to make. You know, he works for Oregon Physician for Social Responsibility, so he's out in the world fighting the good fight. Instead of scrambling to find somebody to cover a spot, I thought I'd do a call-in radio show today and have people call me, and we can talk about things, or I can just share with you some of the news, which is really critical, not just the nuclear news, but some of the non-nuclear news. It's actually really going to affect all of us in the age of fission. So let me give you the number out. This is a number specific to my show. It's a number I got for our show so that we could stay off of the lines of UCY-TV, because I was having trouble with it. So the number is 718-717-8106 if you'd like to give me a call. Wow, we actually have a caller. Hold on just one second. Good morning. You're on the air with Lonnie Clark and the Age of Fission radio show. Hello? Well, that didn't work. Let me see if I can call them back. How about that? I'm going to give it a try. We'll give it the all-American try here. I don't know if that means anything now that we have Mr. Donald Trump as president, though. Hello? I don't think that worked. Or it does look like it's worked, like the caller's on the air. I just can't hear the caller. So that's interesting. Well, I'm going to hang that call up, see what happens there. See, we'll try it one more time. This is what we really call the all-American try. We'll see what happens.
Hello.
Hey. Hi, Mimi. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really great. Thank you for calling us. And I called you back. What was your experience when you called? Did you hear me, or what happened with that when you called me?
I heard you. It was particularly confusing because I had you on my computer as well at the show, until I forgot about the subtle change and whatever
Well, I
time
decided to call
space
you right back.
Continuum.
So,
Thank
well,
you.
I just yeah. So, thank you for joining us. Let me ask you, what's on your mind? Because I didn't really raise an agenda. So, what's on your mind? What would you like to share with our listeners?
Well, two things. One is that there was a ruling in Japan on Friday against TEPCO from the courts.
Yes.
And I figured you did you talk about that yesterday? I figured you. I don't even know what day it is.
Yesterday I had a pre-recorded interview, so no, we did not talk about
okay.
it. It was with Libby Halevy.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, right. So this was a really good win for the people.
Yes.
For the no nukers and for everybody who doesn't even understand nukes, because the court ruled against TEPCO because about Fukushima, because they said that, they ruled that they were liable because TEPCO knew in advance the earthquake potential and the tsunami potential. And what we learned 5 or 6 years ago when this happened was that when they were building it was a tsunami wall in the ocean. It was supposed to be tall enough to prevent a huge wave from coming over to get to the to get to Fukushima, and they built it lower than they should have, and they knew that. So I was particularly pleased that this happened, that this ruling came down. This is why we do what we do, as far as protesting and trying to, you doing what you do, Lonnie, with your show, and sharing our anger and frustration, and guiding it to the right places in hopes of these kinds of rare, rare wins. Because
yeah,
these
this
rare
is that,
wins make
that's
such
what
a difference.
Made it so monumental is the courts rarely side against the nuclear industry. Like, I mean, they hardly ever. I mean, like, for example, at Columbia Generating Station, they found out when they examined it that they knew there was earthquakes there. The licensee literally lied to the NRC. And they are still allowed to have a license.
Right. Even knowing that the earthquake potentiality is so much stronger than what they had built it for, they're still allowed by the NRC to continue operating. And, so then we become our own Fukushima. And then 6 or 10 years later, a court, if any people are left, gets to say, yeah, you knew. So you're responsible, but in the meantime, we all live with the devastation of a meltdown.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So do you know how much 11 million yen is?
No, I don't.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask if you had looked that up, because that's what actually, it's not that much. Each person gets $98,138 in today's dollars. I mean, yen. So they're getting the equivalent of about $100,000 each. But that is just the fact that they're going to get any money, that they've been granted a money amount, is huge.
Right. So now what's going to happen is we have all these other reactors in Japan that have been vacillating between opening and not opening. Sometimes the courts say you can't open, and then they allow them to open. Then an earthquake happens, which this has been going on for 6 years now. An earthquake will happen nearby, and they'll have to shut down again, and then they get injunctions to stay closed, but then they want to reopen. So this case, hopefully, will keep, at least in Japan, the Japanese reactors down. It's unclear yet if that's going to happen.
Well,
but
not only that.
It's what we hope for.
When the licensees have to pay money, when the TEPCO, when the private corporations are required to pay money, I mean, they're already finding a hard time getting funded. You know what I mean? Like they're having a hard time. So this kind of a compensation thing will make other people who are doing a new thinking about it really think twice about, do we really want to do it? Because this is really, in fact, what we need them to do. We need them to think twice about doing this, because it is outrageous. It's outrageous that anybody is even considering building. Maybe you can explain this. How is it that the uranium industry is thriving while the world is completely aware that nuclear was a failed idea?
Whoa, look at all of the big chemical and metals companies, right? Nobody's stopping. The oil companies aren't stopping. We know what all of this does to the earth. Nobody stops doing it because they still get to have it on the stock market. They still get to use it in different parts of the world. India is building its nuclear power plants. They started getting the okay to put in power plants just, years ago, not that long ago. China, all these different places, there's a whole insurgence of nuclear power across the world.
I
So
know. I read this
until we,
article.
yeah,
Excuse
no,
me
go
about
ahead.
it. Well, I actually read this article this morning where a scientist from Malaysia, of all places, is telling his government, like, wait a minute, you guys need to really think about this. This is not, we need to slow down on the nuclear stuff because we can't, what did it say? Time to reject nuclear energy. I mean, what was his name? Professor Ramesh in Malaysia. They're beginning to think about building nuclear. He's like, this is a experiment with too many risks. We need to slow this down. We need to not be building them. And that was the first time I'd really seen that in a, it was March 22nd. So it just, 21st, it came out today. Time to reject nuclear energy. That's the title. And this is in the Star Online, but I couldn't believe it. It made it to like the mainstream news cycle. I didn't have to like go
Right.
digging.
And then you have countries like Russia. Russia was in large part responsible for giving India their nuclear power, with Russian parts, which are worse than GE parts. It's hard to imagine. For those
Yes.
who don't know, GE is are the parts and the company that built Fukushima and the Columbia Generating Station and so many of our nuclear power plants, and they're built on faulty parts. If you go onto Radcast, there's a whole thing on, there's an article on all of the faulty parts of GE and how they a judge fined them at one point, GE, for knowingly selling faulty parts to nuclear power plants.
That's right.
So,
They
I
know
mean,
that. Yeah.
right. So Russia's got uranium, we've got uranium, and then we have to remember, why does nobody care about uranium mining? It's because it's on here anyway, it's on native land. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about native people.
Right.
So they don't really exist. The
That's
genocide
right.
didn't work, so we've
I think the
repurposed the
cancer rate on
genocide.
na for Native men, the cancer rate's almost 90% now. There's a really good documentary. I think I saw it on PBS. It's called Earth Rising, Earth Crying, Earth Rising, Earth Rising, Earth Crying, and it's about the uranium poisoning in Wyoming or Nebraska near a uranium mine there, and the little town who's lined up against the reservation who wants it shut down because all there's. Obviously uranium mines in their land, they're doing all kind and they're doing fracking. They're going down and so they're doing two things. And they're going down getting the uranium super deep and dredging it back up and ruining their lands. And the people in the town are like, well, uranium doesn't hurt anybody. That they literally said that. There's people on the film saying that uranium does not hurt anybody. And that's because they want the jobs. Their brains are clicking it out. They want the money. They think what they're getting is a comfortable life because they too are going to be affected. This is the sad part about it. You can't be disrespectful about uranium because it doesn't, as the safe side of the fence says on Toni West's documentary, it doesn't stay on the safe side of the fence. There is no safe side
Right,
of the
right,
fence, you know?
right. Just look at Hanford. We get these notices, these alarms and alerts every year. Well, not even often enough, saying radioactive dust is blowing across the road, and they should be having that every day. That should be a constant alarm, but it's not a constant alarm. I've been there. I mean, like, it's windy in eastern Washington, and that dust is so radioactive, and so it's particularly bad when they put a warning out saying stay away because it's radioactive.
Well, they see,
You know, and
double-headed rabbits out there all the time. I mean, they do
yeah.
see. I told you, I met a lady. She called me up for my business and we were talking and I asked her what she did. Her husband was a judge and she worked for the Washington State for the environment. I forget the name of the forestry people.
DOE. Oh,
Yeah, but
okay.
she was always out there. They were always checking the grounds and she said, "Look, we always," she goes, "regularly, we saw two-headed snakes, we saw two-headed
Wow.
deer, we saw two-headed animals, we saw animals with extra legs, we
Oh,
saw
my
deformed."
God.
And they said, "Did we ever report them?" "No." She said, "I will tell you why, because my friend who did report it decided one day he couldn't take it. He said, "Shouldn't you, don't you think we should at least warn people not to kill the meat out here?" He was out of her office the next day and reassigned and demoted. The next
Right.
day, he was reassigned and
Right.
demoted. And that is the, this is in fact what's wrong with the Trump nation. People are outraged because Trump is refusing, his administration is refusing to cooperate with the investigations that he's demanding. The CIA and the FBI, only the NSA has turned over documents on this whole investigation. They have yet to have them. They had the hearings yesterday without information from the FBI or the CIA.
Well, the thing that I see about all of that is that idiocy trickles down. And I look at that on the local level here with what's going on in Portland. And we have a supposedly liberal city. And I have to say that I'm not a liberal. I'm a radical. But liberal for me at this point is not even, it's not a good word. You might as well be racist because that's really what liberals at this point, at least in my city, have become. And what it is, this idiocy that's trickled down from Trump and everything else, the same thing we were talking about, you know, why do we still mine uranium and all of this stuff? Why do we frack when we know what it does? We have coming up tomorrow in our city council a vote for $2 million more dollars after the $10 million that was a rushed contract just a few months ago for the police department. Another, they asked for $2 million more dollars so that they can get live ammunition to do target
What?
practice. Yes.
What?
So that's being voted on tomorrow. And the mayor is probably going to say yes to it. I don't know if he will, but there's a really good chance that he will because he has never to date, since he's been in office since January, he runs the police. He's the head of the police. His job is mayor. It's often that way in our city. And he has never once said to them, including with the killing of Quanis Hayes, which was a murder, that he demands an indictment for the cop who killed Quanis Hayes, because Quanis Hayes didn't do the things that, you know, they made out whatever black man did. They just pointed this at Quanis Hayes and shot him, and the mayor never said a thing, right? So the police do target practice on black young people in our city and across cities in America. And our mayors, who are supposedly liberal, fall right in line with that. And that's the thing that scares me more than anything else regarding, you know, the new Hitlerism of Trump, because I see it in the liberal community. And those of us who speak out against all of this, all of it, you know, from lack of care for our most vulnerable people in our cities, we from the liberal community, we are castigated. We are the agitators now. We are the ones who sound insane, right? Because we're standing up for the most vulnerable. It's the liberal community that is starting to make me fear that Nazism, the new Nazism, is becoming, you know, it's walking right into our city, and it's not on the backs of people who wear Trump shirts. I mean, it might be there as well, but that's to be expected. It's where it's not to be expected, where it's the most dangerous.
Explain that
So
in terms of
I
how
just
you
say,
came to see that in your city, because most people don't understand what's going on. Get a real brief background of what's gone on in your city.
we had the worst winter that we've ever had in Portland. We had big snow here, which the city's not prepared for. It's not prepared for even a warning of snow, let alone actual snow, let alone feet of snow, which is what we had, with incredibly freezing temperatures. So we have a houseless population here, people living on the streets and in fields. It's huge. And a lot of people from the United States come to our city to be, to, you know, take part in our houselessness. I shouldn't say it that way. It's a terrible thing. It's, you know, it, anyway, there have been no answers for this. And in the meantime, people froze to death. And the city wasn't doing anything to prevent people freezing to death. So many of us in the community went out on our own. This was right before Christmas. And we were bringing massive quantities of blankets and warm clothing and coffee and hot chocolate and soup and sanitary needs and everything to people who could not get out of their tents because they were literally freezing. Their hands could hardly open when we gave them coffee. You know,
wow.
So the state of affairs here for the most vulnerable people living outside in freezing weather was devastating. So we got a new mayor in January, Mayor Wheeler, and he, on the second day of his mayorship, I went into his office and I gave him a very clear list of what he could do to change this, you know, opening up community centers, opening up every single building, demanding that all churches open up so that there wasn't only one building with one room to accommodate over 5,000 people. And how were those 5,000 people out on the streets supposed to hear that there was even one room available? They don't know. They're freezing to death. They're trying to survive one
They're
more
in their
night
tents.
Of high.
Exactly.
Right. So I said on my list to him, you need to take our fleet of vehicles, which we have, and go pick people up and take them. But you can't take them to one room. You need to take them to, you know, hundreds of buildings where there are spaces where they can be warm and stay with their belongings, with their animals, with their families, you know? Anyway. He didn't do any of it. He opened one room, only one room that accommodated, I don't know, maybe 90 people. And then he said on the air, well, I don't know what to tell you. People don't want to come. And I said, people don't want to come because why would you want to go into a room where people have pneumonia, bronchitis, colds, sickness, mental illness, and, you know, people have been living outside, they're dirty. Why would you want to be in a room with 90 people? I wouldn't. Open up everything and get the people to everywhere and everybody has space and they can kind of, you know, recuperate. So he didn't do any of that. And in the process, while this was going on, we had a black kid shot by the cops, Quantas Hayes. His body is still not with the parents. His body's still in the morgue.
When was he killed?
There's been no indictment yet for the cop. A cop
Minnie,
killed him.
When was he killed? This young man, what was
this
his name?
Was, at this point, 1 month ago, Quanis Hayes. It's Q-U-A-N-I-C-E, Hayes.
Yeah.
So, and in the process, there were also Not My President rallies where in Portland, the Portland police bashed in the face of a woman named Peggy who's 62 years old. She's clearly on the sidewalk. She's going to win her case against the city. They took her and they face planted her into the concrete. They arrested children because they're insane here. They're truly insane. The cops are insane. And the DOJ a few years
Wait
ago.
Wait a minute. They arrested. So I live in Eugene and I didn't hear about them arresting children.
Yeah. They arrested children. I know the parents of the children that they arrested. They arrested three kids, underage kids. Yeah. So yes, and they also went after our civil rights leader, Teresa Rayford, on the big military LRAD unit. It's this big army-like unit with big, huge speakers. And on the LRAD, it's a piece of military equipment, and all cities got them from Obama, and that is a fact. So
they
went after Teresa.
Again?
The LRAD is a noise thing. I forget what it stands for. You guys have to look it up. It's a military piece of equipment that has speakers on it, but it's also used to like deafen you. So they have different.
Oh, yeah.
It has a multiple use machine. So what they did on the LRAD was they went after Teresa Rayford on the loudspeaker thing. And she's a black civil rights leader in Portland, saying, "If we see you, we will arrest you on the spot." And they went after her like the KKK coming after, you know, a black woman. So we went into city council. I went to demand emergency sessions of the council for this houseless crisis specifically during weather emergencies, and this new police crisis that was happening, right? And six shutdowns happened of city council because they refused to have an emergency session, and their spin on what was happening, the most egregious thing that happened, about, you know, regardless of everything else that had gone down, was that they spun this. And they said, all we want to do is bring up our own issues and not let the city do its business as usual. And that's where the liberal community comes in. The liberal white Portland said, what's the matter with you people at us? You need to let the city do its business, and you just need to shut up already and stop shutting it down. And effectively, the city council switched and flipped the message of, we wanted an emergency session for these true emergencies. People died. In fact, we had one more man die 3 nights ago in a tent trying to heat himself. So we are the pariahs. And the fact that white liberals who think they're awesome, you know, and not racist, are now looking at us as we are the problem, and saying, well, the mayor opened up a room during the housing thing, during the weather crisis, and isn't he great? No, he's not great. In fact, it was totally unsafe, as well as unreal.
And inadequate. You know? Not at all.
And even inadequate.
Not even half of what was needed.
Right. Yeah, it was an iota. So he went for the least amount, and I was going for the most. Why not do the most that you can because you can for the people?
Do what you can.
Who are most
do
vulnerable.
More than just opening up one room. That's ridiculous.
Right.
For 5,000
He's the mayor.
People. Yeah.
He has a city that
he
controls.
I mean, he could have at least called churches. He could have made a few phone calls and said, hey, I've got some pressure from people in my city. Can you open up your church for some of these people? Do you have any accommodations? He could have spent one night. If he'd have gotten 10 or 15 churches, that would have been at least a gesture.
That would have been great. But that
you
didn't
know,
happen.
How many churches are there in Portland? This is the thing. This is where I agree with you on your anger. I've been following this story, Mimi. And I agree with you. The inhumanity. But you were correct. I've watched it all. It is the white liberals who are like, they were with you. And then when you didn't go away, they weren't so with you. Once he made his point, like, that's it. I've done what I'm going to do. They were like, oh, okay. I guess it's time to move on. You know?
And the issue like, with
really?
That, no. Right. And the issue with that is these are the same people who fall in line when somebody says, hey, white liberals, grab a pink pussy hat and go out so you get to say the word pussy and pretend that you're powerful when really – and use the word persist as if you even understand the word, as if you you middle class, upper middle class white people with your houses understand the word persist and resist, right? And here we are. None of us are middle class, you know, and all of us are resisting and persisting to make the issue get dealt with, not be heard, but get dealt with. And the issue is, if we don't take care of our most vulnerable, and those are the houseless people, and in Portland, those are also, it's the Black community, and now, of course, it's the, you know, entire Latino community with, you know, Trumpism, but our city's working on that, at least to a point. The mayor still, even though we are a sanctuary city, has not once interfered with any of our citizens here, any of our community here who is in the Hispanic community who was caught by ICE. He has never once stood up and said, release them. Never once. And this is the man who I am quite concerned that tomorrow is going to give $2 million as a gift to the Portland Police Department so they can get live ammunition. Because why? They ran out of their bullets last year for their target practice.
So why can't they go buy more bullets that are fake ones?
Right, right. Go buy more bullets. You guys just got $10 million more dollars.
Why are they buying live ammunition?
Right.
Who's the enemy? I mean, that's the question. Who's
exactly. Well, tomorrow we're going to be very clear.
Speaking of enemy, can I ask you something? Because I hear this all the time on alternative radio. that George Soros is behind Black Lives Matter, that Teresa Redford is like paid by George Soros, and all these people are making a bunch of money, and that the people out on the West Coast don't even realize that they're being manipulated by big money by George Soros.
Yeah,
You
that's
know
just funny,
Teresa Redford.
and it's sad, and it's ridiculous. And
Does
Teresa
she
Rayford
make the
doesn't have
big
a
money?
dime to her name.
Does Black Lives
Teresa
Matter?
Rayford doesn't have a dime to her name. Not even Black Lives Matter, who does have a dime to their name as a group. Not even Black Lives Matter will help Teresa Rayford out with housing. Teresa Rayford is, she gets by on a wishful thought, but there's, you know, rarely a dime that goes into that. So there is not one nonprofit, and I don't know if BLM is a nonprofit or not, but no one gives money to Teresa Rayford because she's persistent, she has a plan, and she resists. When the truest among us do those things, we become the pariah. We do them anyway. But look at who's really doing that. Who's really persisting? Who's really resisting? Who really gets laws changed? In this city, it's Teresa Rayford. She doesn't have a dime. Not a dime. I don't have a dime for doing anything I do. I lose money every single time I go to city council because I block my schedule for massage therapy, which is what I do. I block my schedule off so that I can be at city council doing what I think is right. I lose money. Teresa has never made a dime on anybody, let alone Soros.
Well, it does not say they are not a nonprofit. I know that. I found that out. And it says it was founded by Patrice Cullors, Opal Tometi, and Alicia Garza. Doesn't say who funds them and where they get their money from.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
the
probably
point
donations
is,
then.
Yeah. Well, the point is, this is my mm-hmm. deal. Even if, I mean, because these big funders, these big corrupt people that are all playing the power game, they fund all these different things. I don't see people complaining about the Koch brothers funding the, what do they call it, the foundation, or, you know, American for New American Century, or their whole, the Freedom Foundation, all these other foundations. They're all funded by billionaires. All of these organizations, like even NDRC, even the ones that like Greenpeace, they all get big money, big pieces, chunks of change. That's being funded, and they just spread it out. That's the issue. This is where we're living, to where these organizations get the money, but this is the hard part, is getting it to trickle down to where the people need it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
That
it's
is
because
the
that that yeah, it's because they're mostly people are gatekeepers. You know, Greenpeace is a gatekeeper. They want their money. You and I both know that. We looked at how much money they've made, at least in the United States, and,
yeah.
and who among them gets that money and what their salaries are. Those salaries are, I do my work for free. Teresa Rayford does her work for free. These people are making over $100,000 and more dollars on one person's salary.
$500,000,
$300,000, $200,000, $150,000. That salary.
Yes.
That salary means that the people and the the people out on the field, out in the ground doing these things, are not getting a dime because those people are making these salaries.
Wage. Well, it's because they're getting paid minimum wage. Instead of paying everybody a medium and, you know, a more like equitable raise, I mean, and
mm-hmm.
training and getting
mm-hmm.
people out and using that money for, I don't know, there's so much you can do. This is the thing. It really gets down to, who are we as Americans? Are, like, this is the pretend thing. Oh, we're a caring American society. Really? We've never really addressed what we're doing to our environment, the land, the people, the indigenous. We did not, our country did not enslave people like they did in South America. Our country genocided people. And that's,
mm-hmm.
in fact, what I think they're doing with the uranium mining. They don't give them. They all die. They don't. 15,000 abandoned uranium mines, and that is a minimum hardcore underestimate that they said. That's what EPA said was their estimated. They had their good estimate, which means a very low estimate, right? Because you know how they
mm-hmm.
license uranium mines in the United States? You get a mining license, and there's no extra regulations you have to do because it's a uranium mine. So when you're done with it, you can leave a big gaping hole in the wall, in the ground. You can cover it with dirt and be good.
It is. This is all genocide. And I think that I completely agree with you. And I think that It's not even a thought. It would appear that Trump's entire plan, I mean, this is the plan of governments for through the ages, is genocide. Because, you know, if they can get rid of those of us who are at the bottom, then that's one less thing they have to deal with. And it's also more money for them because they don't have to deal with us. What Trump is doing is he's saying, I'm not even going to pretend that I give a damn about any of you, because I don't. So we're gonna rip the money from kids' lunches. We're going to rip the money from Meals on Wheels. We're going to rip the money from health care. We're going to rip the money from anything in a black community. Right. And what happens? We all die. Well, then they don't have to deal with us anymore. So it's the genocide now is actually, I kind of, in a way, I almost appreciate it in a weird way, because it's at least open and on the table. We don't have to fight to get that message out anymore, which is what we used to have to do, saying, hey, white liberals, you know, what Obama's been doing is genocide, you know? And they're like, no, he's not. He's really good. And here, nobody really contests that. It's like it's a given because we see it happening. So on one respect, he's actually, you know, he's taken off the rose-colored glasses and he's put on the clear ones, you know, saying, well, here, this genocide.
To me, this reeks of Nixon 2.0. They've learned better. They had a fake military. The CIA planned a fake military coup and pulled it off in Chile to impose Alan Greenspan's neoliberal ideas when they failed under Reagan. Reagan tried to pull it off with Newt Gingrich. That's what that whole thing was all about. When all those people, they kept trying, but they couldn't do it. In Chile, they instilled the neoliberal agenda. They came in. They installed a military guy who gutted all of their safety nets, all of their institutions, destroyed their world reputation, and militarized the police. And you know what? The neoliberal ideas kind of fit because nobody could fight it off. Like, so at first they were very successful because people were scared. They had a military thing, so their program worked. But once the people rebelled against the militarism and they took it back and it became something else, they're struggling and they have never caught up. It's really interesting. They have what they call a controlled democracy now. That's what the United States has installed in all of South and Latin America, controlled democracies, where it's kind of run by the bankers. Like, this is why in Mexico they keep getting reelected. It's such a bizarre, interesting thing to see them doing it here. We had a fake election. Mm-hmm. They pulled it off. They knew the strings were being pulled here and there. Hillary corrupted the Democratic Party. He corrupted the primary. Let's not talk about it. And then, you know, we move along with our this is why Paul Ryan is fucking, you know, slobbering all over himself. He can't believe he gets to gut Medicare, Social Security, you know, they passed a bill to close the EPA and the Department of Energy by December 31st, 2018.
Yeah, so why'd they bring somebody in to run the EPA? That was so weird to me. Like, just
to
shut
close
it. Just shut it, you know?
Look, they can't shut it. There was an article that came out this morning. It's going to cost them something like $7 billion just to close it down. Because all of those people, they do something. It's not like the EPA people go to work and do nothing. They're people who take care of the environment. There's a lot of things that are, you can't just like have these regulations and not enforce them if you're going to be part of a government. See, this is where they're going to have this whole showdown on. We're going to come in and knock everything out. Because we have a big country and we have a functioning government that actually helps. We could make it sing better. We could have it work better instead of feeding the military and, you know, becoming the world's, I mean, this portends like the world lining. I mean, I think that they're lining all up against us. I see them like going, wait a minute, we've got to protect the world from these people. And the rest of the world is not going to take this business with Trump, I don't think. Economically, they'll just shut us out financially. Stunning.
It is, isn't it? The whole thing is stunning. I'm particularly stunned on a local level. Because
this is why I opened the lines up, because I know there are people that listen to this show that think Trump is doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, they think he's not so bad.
Yeah, I should let them talk. I want to share one thing with you today, and it's a poem. Today is International World Poetry Day. And I guess it doesn't need an international there. If it's World Poetry Day, it's World Poetry Day. Every day is Poetry Day for me. So I wrote a poem. Can I read it?
Yeah, please do.
It's called Snow. I took a shovel to the ice before the thaw would bring the rains, before the rains would bring the flood, before the flood would raise the worms, before the worms could feed the birds, before the birds could shit upon the frozen people lying dead in sleeping bags on the sidewalks of the city.
That's great.
So I hope that others call in. Thank you for the time, Lonnie. Thanks for your show. Thanks for your dedication.
I'm glad that
and
you
truly persisting.
Look, is there anything that any of our listeners can do to help with this business? Do you think it would matter if people called the city council or any of those people, you know, is there, if we're not constituents?
Yeah. I think that the message to our city, to the mayor's office, is they created an unconstitutional exclusion ordinance last week because myself and a few others have been persistent. So what they did, instead of just using protocol to throw us out, which they have in place, they created a truly unconstitutional order of exclusion. They could call the mayor's office and tell him that it's time that he not follow Trump's ways by trying to silence protesters and resistors and listen to what resistors are talking about and fix those problems.
Well, the thing is, I think it's outrageous that when I read that they even would. But you know what? Didn't this get the full vote of the city council?
All five voted for an unconstitutional exclusion, and in their arguments for it, each one admitted, including the mayor, that they knew this was unconstitutional.
They said that on record?
Yes.
They said, we know this isn't constitutional.
We know that this is unconstitutional. We know that this might be unconstitutional. We know that this is probably unconstitutional, but we'll let a judge decide.
So is there a lawsuit right now going on for a judge to decide?
An activist, Joe Walsh, who's 75, 2 years ago, he filed. He represented himself in the court to the judge. The city tried to throw him out of council and keep him out, and the judge ruled that that's unconstitutional, that they are allowed to throw anyone out for that day, but they can't use, and that's the punishment, you get thrown out for that day, but you can't punish twice over and tell that person that based on prior experience or prior behaviors, you can't return. So in 24 hours, that person gets to return. So this, and this was, this is a thing. This is true. Anyway, the city council knew this. The ACLU was in touch with them, told them, it submitted their testimony against this exclusion. And knowing all of that, the city council did it anyway.
Wow. I can't believe it.
So on that note, yeah,
hey,
that
wait,
would
I
be
want
a
to
thing
share a poem with you. I hope I want to share a
okay.
poem. This is a poem my daughter wrote in this book. She wrote a poetry book called Younger Than Dead about 3 years ago. This is my favorite poem, and this is for tender ears. This is not a sweetsy poem. It's a bit graphic, but it's awesome. So I love this poem. It's called Charity. I wish I had enough fuck in me for everyone in need. Watching how people yearn and scratch themselves into but trinkets of what they once were simply for sex. A warm body to sleep next to, a hole, a cock. It really inspires me to throw some fuck around. It makes me wish I had the capacity to be the Mother Teresa of orgasms, soft kisses, rough flogging. Instead, I am a girl. I am a woman. Big eyes, bigger heart, but my cock will just never be big enough. That's her poem.
Yeah.
I love that poem, actually.
Thanks.
And I'm also going to read another one. I'll let you go, Mimi. Thank you. I'm going to read some
of
his poetry.
Thanks, Lonnie.
I did not know that. I'm going to read some Shakespeare. Thanks, Mimi.
Okay, I'm going to listen online. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was kind of interesting. I do want to read a poem. I did not know it was International Poetry Day, to be honest. It's not the kind of thing I keep up with, as you could tell from my prior conversation. But since my listeners do know I love poetry, I thought I'd share with you one of my favorite poems. I can't find the one from Lao Tzu, but this is the very first poem I ever memorized. I actually know by heart about 12 Shakespeare sonnets. So Shakespeare is kind of like one of my hobbies. I love to read Shakespeare. So this was my very first poem, and I'm going to share it with you that I memorized when, gosh, I was breastfeeding my daughter 36 years ago. I used to sit and read poetry out loud because she liked to nurse a long time. Okay, so I'm going to get going. It's number 30. When to the sessions of sweet silent thought, I summon up remembrance of things past. I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes, new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye, unused to flow, for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe, tell o'er the sad account of four bemoaned moan, which I new pay as if not paid before. But if the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end. I love that poem. I memorized that for my daughter. That was pretty easy. We are in grave times, friends, and it is time for us to be adults and for us to demand that our government function and work. We cannot let them do things like giving live bullets to our police department for target practice. That's unconscionable. I personally am going to call the Portland Police City Council today because that is outrageous. This is how it happens. People don't pay attention. This is why I go to the NRC alerts, where on 320, where was it? Here. This is pretty interesting. Watts Bar, Tennessee, 320. A critical, it's very critical. RPS actuation, release of possible, they're going to tell us what RPS is. Possible saturation or something. We're being poisoned as we speak, folks. And it is up to us to get involved in this, whether we like it or not. It is our responsibility to pick up the mantle. I'd love to talk to somebody. We have about 10 minutes left. The number is 718-717-8106. Michael, if you are out there, I keep you in mind simply because I know you insisted you were not a Trump supporter. But I'd love to know what you think about us giving live ammunition for police departments to have target practice with when they're killing people all the time. I mean, it is outrageous. But I do want to read this article. As we were talking to Mimi, I want to come back to this. Time to reject nuclear energy. I was going to read this anyways. It came up in conversation. I had it pulled up. It was Professor Ramesh Thakur, 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 warned of public rising opposition towards nuclear energy due to its many risks. So he's suggesting that Malaysia reject the idea of building it. It was noted in the final report of Integrated Nuclear Infrastructure Review Mission Phase One, would soon be tabled for discussion by the cabinet, claimed that Malaysia is thoroughly prepared to make an informed decision about introducing nuclear power. But he is speaking up, and he says no. He makes the argument that, only nuclear produces less than 2% of the world's total electricity, and it is not worth the risks. The most critical feature of nuclear power is its production of deadly nuclear waste, which remains radioactive for hundreds of thousands of years and for which there is no safe permanent method of disposal. For example, uranium and plutonium isotopes have virtually unending radioactive half-lives. Uranium-238, listen to this, 4.51 B with a billion years. 4.51 billion years. That's their half-lives. That's when they become half as radioactive. Uranium-235, 731 million years. We throw around the idea that there's uranium out there. And sorry, folks, this is what it becomes. This is what we're turning it in. We are turning it into uranium-235 that lasts 731 million years. And let's don't forget our ever-loving plutonium-239 for 24,000 years. So this is a great article because it's the first time. So in the same week, see the tide is genuinely shifting. When you can go to Google News in the same week and see that TEPCO lost its case in Fukushima, that now they're going to have to pay every one of those recipients $100,000, which frankly is a drop in the bucket for what they have lost and what it's going to cost them in terms of their health and everything else. You think they're going to get their lives back? They're being forced to move back into Fukushima. And maybe that's why they lost, because the government knows that they're being forced to move back into Fukushima, and then they are not going to be around very much longer. And then the claim will go away. No big deal. Kind of like ExxonMobil up in the Valdez, right? Now Rex Tillerson is our Secretary of State. ExxonMobil, who waited for every single fucking person to die before they began to settle. Maybe there was 20 people left. It is outrageous. This is the state of America. I am mortified by Rex Tillerson's behavior, frankly. I don't know about you guys, but Rex Tillerson is our Secretary of State, who used to be the CEO of ExxonMobil. He shunned all except one person on as a reporter to go with him. He would not allow anybody to go with him on his trip to Asia. And so when the South Korean said he missed their dinner trip due to fatigue, he fought back and said, "No, I didn't. I was never invited." And his one reporter from Fox News said, bobbleheaded, and said, "Yeah, that's true. We never got invited." But you know what? If he'd have had 100 reporters or 20 or 30 reporters who were following him around like normal, they would have known what's the truth. This is the problem when you become, these guys have no idea. They are in so far in over their head. They think they can run America like a corporation. They don't need the press. They can create their own slick deals. We are going to get stabbed. These people are a threat to our country. Literally, that's the same story about them gutting the EPA. What did it say? $9 billion or $7 billion they needed just to shut it down. It's going to cost money to shut it down. This is not what we do with a burgeoning democracy like ours. Ours is a new democracy, and we better stand up and fight for it. We're only 200, 300 years old. If we want to have a government around in 100 years, we better stand up for it right now. Now is the time, folks. I personally do not want my grandchildren to live inside of a controlled democracy. And our thoughts are things. We can think our way into this. We don't have to be experts. Mimi Gurman and Teresa, up in Portland, they're just people taking action on the street. You know, and it may be true that George Soros is funding Black Lives Matter, which is why they're so completely selfish. They didn't even think about provisions for the people at the bottom. This is the whole deal about the selfishness of this country, the sheer selfishness. And really, it's, you know, selfishness cuts yourself off at the knees. That's the sad part, is you get exactly the opposite of what you really want in the beginning. So what you want in the beginning is everything. You want love, life, happiness. You want the right thing. Like all these greedy bastards at the top, they think they've got it made. And they just completely disconnect themselves from the pain and suffering they're causing at the bottom. Paul Ryan, who went to school on our tax dollar with Social Security paid for because his dad died, he went to school for free, now wants to cut all that off for everybody else because he sees it as a waste of money. Oh man, now I realize how much it hurt our budget. I honestly don't know how anybody could vote for any of them. And I actually don't know how anybody can vote, as Mimi said, for these soft so-called liberals. She is right. It's like they are not, I guess Kevin used to, I don't know what Kevin called them, panty wasters. I don't quite know what that means, but that's always what I thought. Like these people that are like, oh yes, let's move along. Let's go along with whatever you say and not make it difficult. So in Portland, they pretty much just, if you have protested too vociferously in Portland, or you know, speak out too much in the courtroom, you in the city council meetings, you can't go there anymore. They bar you, and that is unconstitutional. It's like these Republican senators, you know, like if they're going to yell at me, I'm not. Did you notice in the news, you guys? This is something else. In the news, when they're covering these congressional hearings or these meetings of their town hall meetings, they all have these placards that. Red is disagree, blue is agree, and I think there was a different color for in between or something. This is somebody who cooked up, this is a Washington, D.C. cooked up idea. They're going to hand everybody a placard so nobody has to scream out, we want you to hold the card up, but don't say anything, children. Like, they can go, I mean, honestly. Americans, that going to a town hall meeting and paying attention because they're going to cut off your goddamn stupid health care plan that doesn't even function, instead of demanding single payer. People are just beginning to demand single payer, like the rest of the world treats their population with humanity. I mean, you can go to Peru, even one of the poorest countries, go to these poor countries, you can go see a doctor for free. Yeah, go take a trip to Peru. All of you who believe this neoliberal agenda is going to work, go down there. Go take a look at what it looks like when really the super rich have all the money and they give nothing. There is no infrastructure, no plumbing, no water. People get water in barrels still in large portions of Peru. I know about this because I went there four times, so I was shocked. Like, your water is a barrel outside for the month. You get a 5-gallon barrel of water to drink with and to bathe with. That's like, wow, really? So I'm glad that this professor is actually speaking up in Malaysia. It is time to speak out against this. Because, and I am stunned this has actually got out into the mainstream on this nuclear energy thing. And I always bring it back to nuclear because did you see that report today that they said diabetes is connected to global warming? There was actually a report like that on Google News that diabetes, it was under the healthcare area, and it says diabetes, they've discovered that diabetes is connected to global warming. Well, you know what I think global warming is? I think it is a misnomer for nuclear contamination. Is there a link between climate change and diabetes? Could the warmer temperature? No, it's not warmer temperature. It's nuclear contamination. I mean, these people are just ridiculously refusing to admit that nuclear contamination causes the diseases it does. It's not just cancer and genetic mutations. It causes diabetes and schizophrenia, which are on the rise. This is so outrageous. Listen to this. Most referenced diabetes incidence and glucose intolerance prevalence increase with higher outdoor temperature. Wow. There has to be a link because this whole nuclear pollution, diabetes is totally connected. And I do not get it. I don't understand how the scientific community completely refuses to off the cuff reject the idea. Oh my goodness, I totally forgot to turn my radio off. We have less than 30 seconds left on the radio show, you guys, so you're going to hear my phone ring the last 30 seconds of the show. Put your courage feet on. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.